from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
All right, we are back for another week. This is Alon of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
And my name is Ara.
And my name is Rich.
So we do this show here every week. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you're listening live and want to join in the chat. Rich, you're in the chat, right?
Yep.
Fantastic. Again, that's chatterboxgameshow.com. If you want to call in today and talk to our guests, who I'll announce in 1 second, the number is 866-536-1100. One more time, that's 866-536-1100. It's not so often we get a lot of live listeners. It's more podcast listeners, but
that's
we're always
true,
welcome to have them.
But our live listenership has been just bulging and exploding.
The seams are breaking.
Yeah, and
as
all
we
those
speak.
Things in the past few weeks.
Because you can listen live not just in Phoenix, but over the internet.
That's true.
On our website, or from our website at least.
And hopefully we'll be breaking out into shortwave soon.
Yeah, or from the radio station's website, you know. But I can never remember if it's 1100KFNX or KFNX1100.com.
It's 1100KFNX.
Norm says it in a minute. I actually knew that because I made sure to remember it last week. It starts with the numbers.
Yes,
numbers first,
yeah,
then letters.
And invariably, it's always the one that I don't think it is.
But let me point out that if I were a radio station with that domain name, I would probably buy both.
I would have done the same thing.
You know, just to be safe, no matter what they get there.
Hey, that's like $10 a year for another domain name.
So the people we have on the guest, as guests this week, are from Evil Controllers, the people who started it. I'm told we might not have number one. We have number two and three now.
One and a half.
So you're Jonah.
Yes.
And we've got Greg over there.
Yep.
Not so close to a mic, so you might not hear him very well, but I'm sure you'll jump over to the mic if you need to say something, which you definitely will later. And so number one guy, he started it, or you just brought him in for business stuff?
Oh, no.
Am I mad he's not here is what I'm asking.
I have a lot more personality, believe it or not. Than him, so
okay,
you should be happy I'm here.
That is hard to believe.
I know.
Right?
I know.
All right, so we're going to start off talking about a couple other things, but then next segment we'll get into this whole concept of controller mods and the various things that you guys offer, which I'm told are not solely controllers.
So it's not all evil, only some of it's evil.
Partial
it's
evil.
Partial evil.
Evil with the angel little brother.
But the website is evilcontrollers.com.
So my relevant question to you is whether or not you also have evilcontroller.com.
I have all those, basically.
All right.
Controller evil?
I'll check just to test. I'll call you out on this.
Oh, you're actually online. Yeah, that might be a problem, actually.
Evilcontroller.com. Does it go to a park page? No, it actually goes to your site. Good job.
All right.
Well
done.
That's
test one.
We are very impressed right off the gate.
All right. So, like I said, before we get into that, we'll talk about a couple other things. I know that we've got a bunch here.
I have a feeling
as soon as we start talking to them, we're not going to stop.
Probably. So maybe we're going to do the official stuff second segment so we can just...
So what's the beefiest thing we got here? Because I could talk more about Civilization Revolution.
Yeah, let's not do that. No offense. But
Rich?
Okay, look. We'll make an agreement. I won't talk about racing games, and you won't talk about Civilization.
Is that just this episode? Because I know you can't
just
last forever.
Just this episode.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Temporary.
So I have some complaints maybe next episode.
Well, you're not part of this. You can talk as much as you want.
Oh, can I talk about Civ Rev?
No.
Don't ask him for permission.
Oh,
just do it.
I hate this game. The thing and the stuff. No, I got nothing.
No. Okay, but actually, before
Rich and I have bonded over this game.
That's
I have some legitimate
scary.
Complaints.
Okay, so before we actually get into it, I want to make some future forecasts about what we're going to be doing next week and the subsequent week.
Okay.
So there is a very awesome, really cool game designer guy named Adam Saltzman, also known as Adam Atomic.
He's both very awesome and very cool.
That's right. And we're hoping to get him next week. It's not totally confirmed yet, but we're going to do our best to kidnap him and bring him here against his will.
Now, he's the guy who made the game that Danny Baranowski 2 weeks ago was talking about making the music for.
Right, Cannibalts.
Yeah.
Can we
yes.
get like a big van and dress up in black masks
this
and
is,
suits?
This is precisely what we're going to do.
All banana suits.
Yes.
All banana.
Okay. That works
so
as well.
So really hope Phoenix PD isn't listening. Okay. So also this weekend, there is a special kind of crazy little indie event in Phoenix called TIG Jam 2, which sounds much more disgusting than it really is. And it's basically a how do I describe this?
What's the website for Flashbang Studios? Because it's not Flashbang.
I think it's Blurst. Blurst.com.
That makes no sense
at
all.
Blur and burst combined into one word.
Time donkey. It's definitely blur.
Anyway, I don't even know if they advertise it, because basically what they do is, you know, they're very prominent in the indie gaming community. And so they do this.
And they happen to be like next door to us.
Right. It's all right. Or in a manner of speaking. And so they.
Considering we have listeners in Scotland, they're next door to us.
All right. Fair enough. So they do this thing where they gather a bunch of independent gamers together. Not just gamers, developers, excuse me.
I imagine TIG is the independent game something.
Yes, yes.
All right.
And so for a whole weekend, they just pile about 20 of them into a room, maybe 26, maybe 30, whatever. And they all just basically work on their stuff and riff on each other's ideas. And it's just this, once again, bulging mass of gaming creativity.
You know, I haven't been to their website lately, but you remember when we went to their offices together and they showed us this crane game?
Yeah.
That apparently is available, Crane Wars.
There you go.
I didn't even think to
so
check.
So they're rather industrious, those Splashbang guys.
Yeah.
And so that's happening this weekend. We intend to crash this party and hopefully interview some of these guys for your edification in a later episode.
Now, have we decided how we're actually going to record them? Because we have a studio here, but it doesn't move with us.
I just assumed that you would just have everything we need.
I have a Talk Boy, if you guys want to borrow that.
I definitely don't have... I mean, I have a computer, and we can use that.
I mean, like, yeah, you got it together. We'll figure it out.
All right.
We have microphones.
That's cool.
All right, so that's that.
Plug
so up-and-coming stuff. Look for it in the future. That's what I got for that.
Okay, so that's... we probably won't have that stuff ready for next week's show.
Probably not. Maybe later. Something to tease you with.
So since this is your idea, can I give you the audio to edit?
All right. Sure.
Because that's a project I do not want. We're gonna have probably like hours of footage, so to speak.
Do you know that the audio tool that I have is like made out of potatoes?
There are free audio tools out there. What's the free one on PC that everyone uses?
There's Audacity.
Audacity.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very simple but works.
That's very audacious of you.
But possibly not available for free for commercial use. I don't know. And what we do is considered commercial use.
Well, we'll just figure something out because we're also very industrious.
Windows Sound Recorder.
right.
And do something with it. I don't know.
All right, so let's talk about something game-related before we get to the evil controller stuff.
We've got a couple minutes.
We've got a few things on the table.
Not the Wii. I don't care about the Wii.
Don't care about the Wii.
We don't.
I don't care about the Wii either. How about Project Natal?
Is there something new?
So there is something interesting, which is Kotaku did a survey. And they had about 7,800 responses, and they were basically asking people questions to gauge their interest in Project Natal. And I was a little bit surprised, because if you guys have remembered anything that I've said in the past, I was always been staunchly critical of just the whole thing conceptually. It just seems like, you know, Microsoft's like, oh, these guys are doing that thing. Let's do that thing times 100, and it will be 100 times better. Right?
You do seem overly critical, because I think there's definitely room for it somewhere in the game space, just not all-encompassing.
And I feel like I'm just being just the right amount of critical, but anyway. I was
right
surprised.
Amount of critical by being wholly critical.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, I was surprised to see the results of this survey, because it's not uncommon for me to hold a unpopular opinion, and usually I'm really critical of things that a lot of people like. So having said that, much to my surprise... some of these questions that they were asking, a lot of people actually, almost the majority of responses, actually expressed a lot less interest in this technology than is basically being advertised, and also a lot less interest than Microsoft is positioning this thing. Microsoft is positioning this thing as, this is really the future. I'm now even more confident that they're going to fall flat on their faces.
Because Kotaku has proven that nobody actually cares?
Yes. So let's look at
the target demo.
Wait, so Kotaku did a poll?
That's true. But let's just give you the numbers real quick, right? So they asked, one of the questions was, based on your personal gaming tendencies and preferences, do you feel that motion control systems, A, would not be relevant to the games I play, B, would detract from my enjoyment of the games I play, C, would enhance my enjoyment, or D, don't know, right? And so 42% said that it wouldn't be relevant. 22% said that it would detract from the enjoyment. Only 21% said it would actually enhance enjoyment of games. Not only that, but they asked another question just generically about motion control games, right? And 46 respondents said that they enjoy them, but they like standard control games more. 26% said that they don't seek to play motion control games, but they'll enjoy them when invited to by a friend. 14% said, I do not enjoy motion control games and do not want to play them. And only 7% said, I enjoy them and seek to play games that utilize them.
See, now here's the thing. They have been, their idea of these types of games has been sullied by the just horrible nature of all Wii games. The vast majority of Wii games are absolute junk. And so if the Wii hadn't happened, like, you remember the hype leading up to the Wii?
Sure.
We were super excited about
massive.
It. Right. Yes. And I was actually the detractor because, well, I was excited until E3, and then I played it at E3 before it came out, and I said, oh, actually, it's going to suck. Sorry, guys. And then everyone was still very excited about it. And then it came out, and they go, oh, this kind of sucks. And I'm like, oh, didn't I say that 6 months ago? You were there.
I totally remember.
You remember
all
that
of
happening?
That.
Right. And the reason is that it just wasn't up to snuff. And then people are also pushing out these games that are just crap, right? But there are some ideas.
Sure.
That could be fantastic with the right combination of technology, design expertise.
Now, I do agree with that. I just don't think it's going to be the second coming of anything the way Microsoft is framing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly they're trying to capitalize on Nintendo's success, but what's weird to me is that Nintendo continues to have success, even after they've proven that their stuff is really boring.
This is interesting, because I'm wondering, is the Wii stuff reaching a limit where, like, just enough people feel like they've gotten suckered by it, or... I don't know. Am I mischaracterizing this?
I mean, maybe,
what do you think?
Maybe because the group of people that have made it successful are also the group of people that are less discerning about games.
Well, that's
right?
Definitely true, and
they
that's definitely
mind.
Characteristic of the mass market.
Do you know anybody who has the Wii Fit? Well, the balance board in the games?
My mom does.
Yeah.
And how many times has she used it?
Probably two or three.
And I'm guessing those two or three times happened the week she bought it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I know plenty of people who have it. And just do not use it, right?
Yeah.
Which is, generally speaking, the way people treat their Wii. But specifically with the Wii Fit, which is supposed to be this big thing, right? Same idea. You play it a little bit and then never again.
Yeah,
and that's what happens with bad games.
That's interesting, right? Because it's like, I have not seen a product that more people have bought and stopped playing after a few times.
Yet has been critically acclaimed.
Yeah, but exactly.
But they buy it.
Go ahead.
They buy it. And then they sell it when they don't like it anymore, and then 6 months later, like, I kind of want to play that game, and then they buy it again. I mean, believe it or not.
No, I've seen people
friends.
Do that, too.
Yeah.
But that is crazy, that it's critically acclaimed and doesn't actually get used, but certainly gets sold.
On the opposite side of that, though, like, you look at, like, the Xbox 360, whose hardware is terrible, and people complain about the hardware, and yet it's the most played system on the market right now.
And one thing that's going to make the difference, like, you know how they're trying to integrate it into the... into actually the dashboard.
Yeah.
Using that system on a daily basis, using that control scheme with the system,
yeah.
I think is going to make people more likely to use it in general because they're going to be continually familiar with it.
Unless it's crap.
Well, hopefully they'll make that part work really well. Anyway, we're at the end of the segment. We will be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we have our esteemed guests this evening. We've got Jonah and Greg from evilcontrollers.com.
More importantly, from a company that makes actual evil controllers.
Right. So they're not sentient, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about why the controllers are so evil and what they are exactly.
But you'll have to wait. Until after I mention UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, a wonderful sponsor of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. And don't forget, you can give us a call, 866-536-1100. We'll wait until next segment to put on any callers and ask these guys all the fantastic questions about how they ruin gaming for the rest of the world. All right, so Jonah, give me your spiel. And while he's doing that, Greg, if you could get all your stuff so I can look at it while he's talking.
They brought us products, and now these we haven't even seen before. And I've heard something about, like, are these actually new? As you can hear, they're very heavy.
I like the fact.
You could open that. I want you to have that one.
You're actually the first people outside of the evil family who are going to view these products.
Wow. I don't believe you. I bet Johnny has seen these.
Okay, so
Johnny's seen half of it.
Alana apparently is opening up a box where there should be ammunition inside.
Yes. It's an actual Christmas package is what we're going to be doing for this Christmas season.
Right. Now, is this a Christmas package or a holiday package? Our listeners are
It's
very...
definitely a holiday package.
Can you hear that? They have Evil Controller logos, which is a silhouette similar to an Xbox 360 controller.
And even the Velcro is evil,
yeah,
by the way.
But also with eyes and a tail. All right. And it has no Xbox to connect to right now, but also has that like digital pixelized.
They
digital
even
camouflage.
Have batteries in them.
Digital camo.
Yeah.
So basically what you're holding right there is going to be our digital camo edition. It's a basically better than a skin. It's an actual graphic produced onto the actual Xbox 360 controller.
So it's painted on or shot?
I can feel the texture on it.
It's not just an applique.
No, it's a actual printing technology. It's from the Evil Laboratory, so I can't give you all the chemical balance of
what comes
in there.
Do you use lasers?
I can guarantee
there
it
was
has
a laser
thickness because
this.
It actually it disturbs the application of the battery because there's some thickness in there, which I guess we'll say is quality, right?
Well, that's good. I would
you can
say
hear
that
me
also.
Snapping
my,
it in.
My
with
first
my
reaction
fervor.
Would be, and now we've identified myself as being the skeptic.
Sure.
During the break, right? So, does this rub off? Is my first reaction.
Eventually, yes.
That technology is used on many different things, like in the military, on high-speed boats, on planes. So it can handle some very serious wear and tear.
So you can hurdle this through the air at high speeds, and even then, it will not rub off.
We can go in the parking lot after the show, and we can launch one of those across the.
You take Let's a knife to this, that. And I have a feeling it's going to scrape. But
I mean, of course, it's going to scrape if it gets run over by
like
so if we
trucker.
Stab it with a knife.
No.
Okay. You're good.
A laser.
Okay.
We're really grilling these guys. Yeah.
Not to pander you guys, and I especially don't care about the graphic of a controller. No offense. Like
sure.
That's not where my.
Unless it's pink.
Yeah, that's true. That's not really where my concerns lie.
We're gonna show them yours, the one you got. This is a little bit different. That's going to be put out just before the Halloween type of season is our custom skull graphics that will be, put on the controllers. And what we're going for here, guys, is personalization. You're talking about individualism. You know, just like you can change the dashboard of your Xbox to look different than your friends, we're talking about something that you can carry with you from your friend's house to the next gaming event to anything that's different than anyone else's.
So can I give you the graphic? Because I want pink with little fairies on it.
You know what? That's probably what you can do, and that'll be in our next segment.
All right. Fantastic. Rich, let me see that one.
If you ask nicely.
So the point I was going to make before is that as much as I do not care about the graphic on the controller, the quality is unmistakable. So if you do care about that stuff, if that's your bag, then, it's clearly pretty good.
And that's all we do. Everything that we put out is high quality. And whether you agree with what we do,
and now
whatever we do is high quality.
I'm just going to say right now, I like the convex joysticks rather than the concave.
Sure, those are.
It feels a lot nicer on the.
This
thumbs.
Is where you and I totally disagree. Because
like,
I'm all about
when
concave.
You get the concave, it like it can rub on part of your thumb, and then it just like digs in because you're playing for 4 or 5 hours, and it's.
It's easier for your hand to slip off though.
I disagree.
The material actually
it's a
is
nice
definitely
material.
Higher friction, right?
But it's very PS3 like.
Right, and in fact, it actually. I mean, I'm not sure, but my first reaction again is that it seems like it's even more high friction than a PS3 stick.
Well, basically what we did is we took an Xbox 360 stick and a PS3, and we kind of took the best of both worlds. We actually shortened the post on the Xbox 360 stick. The PS3 sticks are actually a little longer, and with shortening the post, we basically gave more of a center resistance. If I had a regular Xbox controller and we did the circle test, you could tell how easily you can move around. You know, you try to go left on a regular Xbox 360, you go down or you go like kind of left or up.
Yeah,
you have so much control with these sticks. It changes your gameplay and your movements.
Comes with dog tags.
Yes.
So now here's the question I have. Actually, you said that you shortened the post of this.
We shortened the post.
Right. So that means that the effective range of motion is actually smaller than previously.
Yes.
Which for first person shooters means you can move faster theoretically.
Well, that's true, right?
But less control.
And the way your finger comes off the stick for the A, B, X, Y button.
That's true. If you're moving back and forth, it is closer. So for a different application, like racing games, one problem I've always had is that the analog control that you have just gives you such a minuscule range of motion for the amount of basically, well, range that you're expected to kind of like confidently modulate between, right? Like this, like I'm using the pushing the trigger here, right?
Sure.
Like this is what, like what? This is like a centimeter of play here, right? Like they expect you to modulate within that amount of range equivalent to like a gas pedal, which is like how much bigger?
Right.
So, right? So same thing with steering, right? Like they've compressed the steering wheel into like how much is that? Like that's almost nothing, right? So
what's funny here is that actually at PAX, we had all sorts of people give us stuff to give away at Penny Arcade Expo. For some reason, I didn't contact you guys. Don't ask me why. But we will for PAX East in several months.
Sure.
We'll hopefully get you guys get some of your stuff. But there was Control Freaks. That was what
it was
called?
Control Freaks, where it's like just you stick it on the stick and it makes it.
It's this little piece of plastic with the joystick nub thing on the top. And it's what seems to me the same quality friction rubbery stuff as you guys have, right? I'm not gonna say one's better than the other because I don't know,
right?
Maybe, but the point is that it's just this plastic piece that snaps onto the top of a traditional Xbox 360 joystick nub, and so it actually gives you more height rather than less.
Yeah,
and which I'm actually curious how that would work.
Now,
but
we didn't hate it actually. Yeah, Rich and I
think the it argument adds a little gives you too much height because it's like an attachment onto
it's so foreign,
but I like the idea that it's longer
so they get more. Like Ari was saying,
a larger range of motion.
That's what she said.
Now, there's different applications for different uses, right? So some people might want shorter, some people might want longer. So I'm not arguing you did the right or the wrong thing. But it's fun to see that one company chose one route specifically for saying, okay, it gives you more control, more exact motion, right? Whereas you guys chose a different avenue of shortening it for a very specific reason.
Well, and I think I might have been a little mistaken when I said we shortened the PS3 stick.
Oh, I see.
You see, the PS3 stick's a little higher.
Yeah.
So what we did is we took the Xbox 360 length and made that we converted a PS3 style.
Okay, so this is the same size.
This is the same size
as the 360.
Yeah, Control Freak makes actually a really good product. I don't like the shape. I don't like the original style of the Xbox 360.
Is theirs concave? Control Freaks.
Those are concave.
See, again, that's what I prefer. Same with arcade buttons.
Have you played with convex though?
I mean, I've used a PS3 and used an Xbox.
That's
what my argument would be.
I'd be really curious to see what you would think, Alon, if you played like what's that crazy game? Galaxy Wars? Why am I drawing a blank?
It's the cheap one on the 360. Xbox Live one.
That shooter.
Yeah.
Galaxy Wars.
I know what you're talking
right?
about. Yeah.
What? Somehow. So okay.
Geometry Wars.
Geometry Wars.
What are you talking about?
I can remember it, and I also
my brain's folding in on itself. What can I say?
No, and Geometry Wars is one of the games that bugs me. You play forever, and your finger slides.
That's
off.
The thing, right? Not only does it slide off, but like I think intuitively, right? You'd think that concave is better because
it might just be in my head because I think it's better.
Well, because more surface area on your thumb is touching it, right? But the problem that you run into in like Geometry Wars is that when you're holding an edge the whole time, it's actually more of the pressure is actually focused on just that one edge where the concavity starts.
I tell you
which would be distributed more here. So I think you might actually like
I would
this
be
better.
Willing to give it a try with Geometry Wars for some extended play and see which one I prefer
and,
over time.
And when you start talking about durability, all that pressure you were talking about on the concave, actually the way the 360 stick is made, of course it causes more pressure, which creates tears in the and the joystick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people with 360 controllers with how they have the little...
those little nipples.
Yeah.
You can say
like
that,
there's
right?
like eight of them surrounding
mine
it.
Are all gone.
Those
are all
off,
gone.
Literally.
And exactly. And this has got a sticky tactile. And I'm not saying ours don't wear off. I mean, if you play something 10 hours a day, for a year, you're going
to
wear off.
Not to mention yours are required. I mean, you could... They're not required, I mean. You could just use the traditional 360.
Right.
Or if you like yours better for, what, 10 bucks?
10 bucks.
You get the evil controller ones.
And you get a cool little evil guy that...
I just noticed that.
Got a logo
he peeks
on
out at you.
All right, so I'm going to learn a little bit more about your product line and then how it affects the gaming universe when we get back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
Woo-hoo! And we are back. I don't want to waste any time getting back into this. So right before we went to break, we were talking about, talked all about the controllers and stuff, but we didn't get a chance to really talk about some of the cool factor, the way that you guys present this, the way that it's gifted. So just a couple seconds, and to the people who may have just joined the show live, we've got two guys, Greg and Jonah, from Evil Controllers. They make modded controllers that do special things not every controller does, and also some little replacement sticks for controllers you might already have. So just jump into it and tell me the new things you're coming out with and what makes them better than competing products.
Okay, sure. Basically, what we were talking about before is the Christmas package. The Christmas package comes in a 30 caliber can, actually used in warfare. So
this hunky thing on my desk.
Some of them, they actually smell like war, if you want to take a whiff of that.
I'll refrain.
inside the 30 cal can, you're actually going to get our custom-made controller accessory pack. It's not an actual controller case, but it's an accessory for basically anything you know, gaming-wise. We got the idea from an ammo pack. We're in a surplus store looking for these cal cans, mm-hmm. and found this really cool ammo pack. And we decided to kind of change the style a little bit, put our little evil logo on it. And then that's going to what's going to come in our holiday package.
So you're talking about basically you open it up and you've got your controller, but it's inside a pouch.
Right, right.
Okay.
And, you know, it works for anything. You can put anything in it, and, you know, it's great walking around. If you go around to some of these MLG events and whatnot, people are just carrying their controllers in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, they have nothing to put it in or any accessories or, you know, money from mom, whatever.
I'm going to open this thing back up because it's got a belt loop on it, doesn't it? Or am I wrong about
you
that?
You look pretty awesome if you're walking around with a giant
you are awesome.
Ammo canister for the controller.
I don't think you're supposed to walk around with a canister.
Yeah,
that takes away from the...
But the evil controller...
No, I think you should walk around with the entire thing. like, on a belt.
For intimidation purposes.
Just feel like I'm pretty sure that movie's called Falling Down, and it didn't end too well.
All right.
So
you get this big old ammo can, you open it up, and you've got the controller... pouch, which is normally just an ammo pouch.
Right.
Inside that, you've got the special controller.
Right. And our special controller for our holiday package is going to be a digital camo. And it's going to have a matte finish, which just basically gives you more of a softer feel. With the matte finish, I've played for hours with this thing, and the Xbox 360 controller has such a kind of sticky feel after you start playing it for a while. It's real grimy and holds on to a lot of your dirt.
Yeah.
I don't get that with the matte finish. And then, of course, we have the glossy finish, too, the carbon fiber that I was showing you guys.
I definitely
with the
prefer the matte, for the record.
Right.
The one Rich was using was the glossy one.
Yeah.
Not
matte's
awesome.
Always nicer.
The glossy one's more, I think, for more visual.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Maybe put it in people collect these stuff, too.
Blind
you know,
your
so.
Competitors.
Also,
right. Shine the light.
You can, exactly. You can see the words back and start and whatever, like... the glossy can fill the very tiny cracks better
right.
than the matte can.
Right. And then, of course, if you turn it on, you get what we do is the Ring of Light mod. So
yeah,
we actually
colors.
Take... Right. And we do... Right now, we do blue, blue, red. We can do orange. We can basically do
so
any...
So is this just me? Or, I mean, this is green, but this isn't the same green. This seems
green.
Brighter.
Right.
It's really bright.
I should have told you to wear sunglasses. I apologize. But basically, and that's kind of... We offer just the small things to customize your controller away from the actual what we do. Our meat and potatoes, of course, is the modded process.
Yeah.
You know, which we do with the button relocation and other...
And that's what we're going to get into in just a second.
Sure, sure.
So what else do we want to tell them about this before we move on? Just that it's awesome. It has the mat on it. It's got the different sticks, right? It's got the convex sticks.
Everyone's going to come with the convex sticks. It's going to have the Ring of Light. It's going to definitely have your digital camo finish. It's actually going to also have an Evil Controllers t-shirt inside of it. So,
but not inside the controller.
Not inside the controller. Yeah. It's going to be wrapped around the controller.
During the break, we were discussing the possible pro or con of the convex versus concave stick. And I've always said that I prefer concave with my arcade buttons and my joysticks. But Ara brought up a very valid point about pressure areas and... the feeling of your finger on long,
right.
long
but,
game.
But
bouts.
Now I'm wondering, being the scientist that I am, I'm now wondering if maybe even a flatter surface would be better rather than convex or concave.
The argument you are making leads me to believe convex. But the best situation for this to test, as you brought up, was Geometry Wars. And so I've offered I may give that a try. Try Geometry Wars for a duration, right, with the traditional concave. And then again with the convex.
Yeah,
and see if I actually prefer one of the over the other, because it might just be in my head that I think convex
then we
is
can,
better.
And then we can measure also the soreness level of your thumbs.
And see, what I'm gonna have to do is try both one day, wait a day, and try both in the reverse order.
Right. That's take some painkillers.
That's right.
And we need
a control, of course, so Rich will play too. Yeah.
Okay. But Rich is horrible at that game.
Well, it's control.
Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
I think the tension is what you'll notice the most. You actually control your movement. As where, like I said, when you even in like a Madden, so to speak, you go left and all of a sudden you go back 3 yards. It's because of the movement is so loose on the original 360 thumbstick.
Have you guys actually like experimented with the range of tension levels? Like I always wondered, like what if it was like totally extreme, like really high.
But you
tension.
Can't adjust the tension on it. You can only adjust the feel.
What I mean from that with shortening the stick and then having the convex.
But it's not shorter on the Xbox 360.
No, but. With the convex, that's why the PS3 is a little taller. So basically, when we started the concept, we got all these requests like, hey, can you just get some PS3 sticks and put them in there for us? And we said, we'll do better. We'll just go make them. So, I mean, we took about 6 months to test. This is actually the fourth generation. First generation, but fourth generation. If not to get too into textures and whatnot like that, we went with a little stronger plastic, give it a little more durability. So, I mean, there's a lot of little tiny things that we put into this to...
All right, and I believe you, but we're also wasting time not talking about the important stuff.
No, and I don't want to talk about that.
Let's get down to brass tacks. Honestly, that part really interests me, but I don't know if it's what everyone else wants to hear about.
Right.
So maybe we'll save time for later. But for now, really, like what you said, bread and butter is the modding that you do.
How to cheat.
Basically, right? And that's what makes your controllers evil.
That's an evil word,
All right,
believe.
So...
I believe cheat is an evil word.
Let me give everyone an example they might be able to, well, have some experience with, right? So you're playing a game called Gears of War. Let's say the original, since I never even played the second one. I'm not ashamed to say that.
All right. I haven't played the second one either, so we can both
be
lacking of shame.
And I'm sure in the second one as well. There's this active reload concept where you have to time it just right in order to reload your gun, and different guns have different reload times. So if I recall, it's the right button, not the right stick, but you press it to initiate the reload, and then you press it a certain amount of time afterwards, depending on the gun, in order to hit the active reload time. And if you hit it properly, then you'll reload quicker, and your next shot will be stronger.
Maximum, right.
Right. But that's a pain in the butt because you have to know what gun you're on. You also have to, you have to pay attention to this meter that's not on the center of the screen. It's in the upper right, and you got to watch it or just get really used to it, where I'm using this gun, so I reload in this amount of time, right? And one of, I believe, the first things that you guys did with your controllers was time the active reload, have some function on the controller that when you press it, you just press once and it automatically does a perfect automatic reload. Am I right to think that was one of the first things you offered?
It was one of the first for Gears, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So expand on that. What else have you been able to do? What are some of the problems that you've come across, and what are some of the complaints as well?
Well, basically to go back to the cheat, to kind of walk into theirs, we just felt like that part of the game was something that was no fun. It didn't really have anything about the skill for us. So we said, hey, let's go ahead. We're going to go time it. And then you can focus on more of in our opinion, the more fun aspects of the game. The teammanship, playing with other people, working on your headshots, working on your actual range and accuracy and things like that.
Making sure you kill people in less hits because you always have the strong shot.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And, and for us, there's a lot of people that basically, there's a lot of 35, 40, 45-year-old guys out there that their minds can't comprehend this stuff at this point. Okay. And they're calling us every day asking, hey, can you just help us so I can actually play? They don't care about active reload. They want to shoot people.
I don't believe you for a second that you're actually getting phone calls from old guys saying, help me with these games.
Except
my roommate.
No, wait, what about Johnny?
John's on our younger.
Just walking into the store and going, oh, I need it to work.
you'd be really surprised how many. I have a lot of 40-year-old guys that definitely play these games. Now, right. A lot of them might live with their mom, but they're still 40 years old. Either way, okay. We switch it. So that was some of the first things we did. And, of course, we also have the rapid fire with that, which is basically taking single-shot semi-automatic weapons and turning it into fully automatic weapons, pushing the speed, the limits of programming. So we definitely – we first actually started with button relocation, which basically we went and moved the A and B to the back of the controller.
Okay.
So you had your thumb, of course, using – your right thumb uses X, Y, A, and B and is also responsible for your vision. So the way we started is we basically moved down the A and B so that these fingers are no longer being wasted.
Yeah, your index and your middle fingers, you're saying.
Right, okay. Right. So, and that was a big in Halo, you know,
yeah.
for, you know, Melee and whatnot like that. And then as we kind of grew, we started realizing, wow, there's a lot of glitches out there that we can kind of take advantage of and improve gameplay and make it more fun for people to play.
I just wanted to interject for 1 second. That's why Green Thumb, what you just described, is the best play or control mechanism for Halo, because then you don't have to take your thumb off the stick to melee people.
Right, and that is
not everybody does that. Concept. Not everybody knows that Green Thumb is the best option out there, and they choose the crappy options like the default. But anyway, you move on.
Well, and that's how we kind of saw, like, you know, the claw technique. You know, we saw people really killing themselves.
I've seen people hold controllers very strangely that don't make any sense.
I mean,
at
like
all.
Like the reach around, like the.
they make
really
sense.
Weird stuff.
It makes sense to them.
Imagine laying the controller on the table and trying to use it.
Right. And so then we went from there, and then we started to do the rapid fire, and you know, we do fast reloads for Call
Explain
of Duty.
Explain to me, you say rapid fire as if everyone knows what it is, and now we have to go to break. Crap. Rapid fire isn't just rapid fire. Like, it actually can do some special things. Right, so I want to get more into that.
Sure.
It'll be a cliffhanger. We'll find out what it means when we come back.
It's more than just your traditional Super Nintendo days rapid fire. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've got the final segment here. If you'd like to call and talk to our guests, Jonah and Greg from Evil Controllers, the number is 866-536-1100.
And now it's time for me to jump in. We have wasted a lot of time, and I can't waste any time in mentioning UAT.edu, the website for University of Advancing Technology, where you can go to learn more about the programs they offer and how you can get into gaming. But we have talked about all sorts of stuff that really isn't important, or as important as what we should have been talking about this whole time. We've got 1 segment, so I want to get right to it. Basically, these controllers, we say they allow you to cheat. Whether or not you like the word, they allow you to do things that the game isn't initially designed for. For instance, skirting around the idea of successfully doing an active reload. Rapid fire, which we mentioned right before the break. This was our cliffhanger before the break. Rapid fire isn't just letting you press the button real fast. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but as I've been told, at least when I've gone to sessions and things or conferences, like, I believe I talked to guys at Evil Controllers. You guys didn't happen to be at the booth at the time, right? But I spoke to folks, and they were talking about how they've built these controllers to actually accomplish things that the games don't normally allow. Like, a human being couldn't physically do this, but your controller makes it possible to do something that the game normally doesn't allow. Am I wrong about that, or am I right?
You're 50-50. It's basically we bridge the gap between what the game actually allows and what human capability can do.
So is the limitation the human or the controller?
The limitation is the human. The program allows the capability, and our controller bridges that gap.
Okay, so basically I can take a gun in some Call of Duty game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, right? I can hold the trigger down, and it can shoot some old-school gun that's not supposed to be able to fire as quickly as it fires. But with your controller, it can go almost like a machine gun.
It can go almost faster than a machine gun, if that's even possible.
Okay.
You can get bullets up to 11, 12, 13 shots per second.
A non-automatic rifle can be shooting like that. And so people say that you're breaking the programming of the game or breaking the design.
A lot of people say that, yes.
So try to give me a 30-second synopsis of how you physically accomplish this.
Well, basically with combination of a button combination, we can basically achieve things that a human can't achieve.
You mean by pressing multiple buttons at once in the programming, or you actually put a chip inside the controller?
A chip is programmed. Basically, we find a concept, we get a concept, we get the idea, we program it, we put it on the chip, and then insert the chip, you know, in the controller. And then the macro tells the controller what to do, and then the game decides whether to allow it or not. We've come up with concepts to make it be allowed.
And so it's not just when you hold down this button, press the button a whole bunch. There's actual specific timing in there.
There's definitely specific timing in there, because what you don't want is, yeah, you can push a button a whole bunch, but you're going to have spurts, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have lag in your weapons and stuff like that. So we get it to a fine-tuned killing machine, basically.
So you don't just make it press button at a billion times a second?
Well, kind of.
Yes.
If you want that.
if you want that. We actually, our most popular controller is the adjustable controller. Mm-hmm. It gives you 250 different increments of speed, and you're allowed to just, you grab the controller, and you can speed up and slow down the trigger pulls.
Okay. And you all, I mean, there's basically settings you can say, I mean, so like with Gears of War, there's different guns, right, that
right.
require different settings. And so you actually press certain buttons and tell it, I'm using this gun versus this gun, right?
Right.
And then when a new game comes out, you have to get your controller updated somehow.
Actually, we've been pretty good at making we actually have a universal controller out now that does 5 to 6 different speeds. And we've fallen in there pretty nicely with the new games that get released. So
you don't even need to do an update. You just say, use this game configuration for this game.
Use this speed, or, you know, we always fine-tune. Everything we do is top-notch. We don't cut any corners. So if we do come out with a better program, of course, we let people send it in, you know, update the controller.
Okay. By the way, is this all done on a PIC12C? Is that what you're using, the little guy? What's the chip in there? Who's the tech guy?
That's number one.
And he's not here.
He's not here.
Oh.
1.5 knows a
so
little
I,
bit
So I opened
of it,
up Johnny's controller to pull out the weights in it because he decided he wants a light controller.
Right. He hates the rumble motors.
Yeah. And I swear it was a PIC12C, which for those who don't know, it's a very tiny chip that was very commonly used to modify PlayStations and only has eight little pins on it. So
our chips have more than maybe on that specific one, but we, you know, with some of the functions we do, we need 20 pin chips.
Wow.
On some of them.
Okay. But externally, you do have some controllers that have buttons on them, but other ones that are totally stealth that you can't even tell it's a different controller.
Right. We try to push stealth because it doesn't do anything to the outside of the controller.
So you're getting better at cheating.
Yeah.
We're getting better at being better.
All right, so we only have a few minutes left. Let's get right to it. Some companies, let's say Activision as an example, don't like what you're doing, and they have made patches in the game or added these patches along with whatever their other updates are for to prevent these from working. And then you it's like cat and mouse game.
Right.
They break it, you fix it, break it, fix it, or they fix it, you break it, depending on your side of the fence. Right. So tell me one of those stories.
Well, the first time they actually did it, it was World at War. And the beta they put out worked. Our controllers worked perfectly with them. So we had about 3 weeks to a month of just selling controllers every day. And when they finally released World at War, they had an automatic patch that you had to update.
Mm-hmm.
So they were really smart because they basically tried to put it out there, let us sell a bunch of product, and made it not work.
And piss off everybody as soon as the game came out.
Pissed off a lot of people. Awesome. That was a couple long days. Luckily, we got Boy Genius on our side, and my brother fixed it in about 6 minutes.
And is he number one?
He's number one.
Okay.
And there's a reason now that I'm 1.5.
Okay.
And so he fixed it, and basically what it did is it detected at a certain speed, like, okay, stop, and it slows the gun down. Well, without giving up too much information, he found combinations that tricked the program into thinking that it never hit that speed, but actually it was going faster than the speed that was detected.
Nice.
And so basically we've been playing this game with these companies for, you know, a year now. Actually, latest Modern Warfare, they actually did a balancing on the weapons, and they slowed down all the rate of the gun.
Was this the one where they limited all inputs to once every half second?
Was this the latest one, or...? The latest one they did is they changed all the balancing completely. So if you're fast on the trigger, you can't go any faster. And
yeah,
so basically,
I think that was it. Yep.
So they're leveling the playing field, which to me has to upset them because that's not what I mean. What's the difference between me and you now?
Well, the interesting thing is that when that thing came out, it actually triggered a pretty adverse reaction amongst a lot of gamers because they felt like, oh, you know, like. I could play the game like this now. Now, just because some people are cheating, now I feel like I'm penalized.
And hopefully that we're there all the time trying to get people on blogs and trying to write stuff like that. Because, you know, if you don't want to play in a modded match, you can leave the match. But they shouldn't compromise
the whole
game. Yeah,
you don't know
if
it's a modded match, though.
But, I mean, you can tell when someone – you can definitely hear it.
But by the time you get in a match and it's a ranked match and then you quit, like, you're being penalized either way.
Yeah.
Well, because you're dying and then you quit.
And that's why we're trying to push over here, basically having an Xbox Live, you know, being able to get into modded tournaments, having, you know, you can go here, or you can go there, which I think is definitely inevitable in the future because
I think it might be an uphill battle, but at the same time, like that would be really cool because, like, honestly,
I think you're far too niche for that to ever succeed or happen.
Well, maybe
there's
maybe
so
now,
many there's thousands upon thousands of of rapid fire mods, and you know, because we're the biggest company, but there's a lot of small companies that take up small percentages
it's
of
like,
the company.
It's like you can compete with steroids allowed, or yeah. no steroids.
We had some people at PAX. Intensifier. Have you heard of these people?
No, I haven't.
No, they have this thing. It's no solder. It's like a snap-on unit, but it's the actual PCB.
Okay, I have.
You add on the inside of the controller and then close it up, and it does what I don't know how involved it is, but it does some modding, right?
Right.
It was really interesting to me that they successfully did it with no soldering, but I guess it probably applies to where there's a screw already or something. But anyway, they do something similar, and in a very professional package, right? Like, it's plastic packaging and all that crap. Right. It's not just like some dude out of his house with a Pixie programmer. So bottom line, though, you guys make these controllers. You've got all these people on blogs and forums probably playing both sides of the argument. One side I see is that I don't know if you're using this controller as your opponent, right? Because I'm not familiar enough. Like you're saying, you've got these old guys who don't have time to play every day, right? That's part of your argument. Like Johnny is the old roommate I've mentioned on the show a million times. He uses these controllers, right? He says, well, I'm not in high school anymore. I can't just go play this every day. I'm not as good as these guys who are 15 playing this all the time, and I need an advantage, right?
It is kind of hard to compete with somebody who plays like hundreds of games a day.
Ten hours a day.
Honestly.
So I could see that argument. But at the same time, I see that, well, I am one of those guys who doesn't play a lot. When I go on, how the hell am I supposed to know that this gun can't fire 1,000 times a second? That guy isn't just really fast on the trigger or something? I don't know if you're using a mod. And I don't even think to listen for it and that would be an indicator, or that the game actually makes a sound that's appropriate for the gun.
Well, you know, one thing real quickly is that what
we've
missed.
Very quickly, by the way.
It's all about the experience. These guys that don't have a chance to play can now get on with our controllers and enjoy playing online against the people that play a lot.
Yeah.
And that's all about the experience.
And my hate mail has gone down a lot, so people must start liking these controllers.
You think so? That you've measured that as part of the acceptance?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right. Well, unfortunately, as with every other week, our show is far too short, so we're going to have to cut the interview short this week. So we're done for the week. So thank you very much for listening. Feel free to email us at chatterboxgameshow.com. You can find our emails over there. If you have questions for these guys, we can always get them questions or bring them on again later if we need to.
Yeah.
But head over to their website, evilcontrollers.com. You can buy their products. Kind of pricey, I gotta say. $120, $110 for a controller is a lot, but apparently it does a good job. How much are these Christmas packs that you're trying to push?
The Christmas package is going to be in the higher 200 range.
All right, but it's pretty awesome. I mean, you get this big old ammo pack, you get the t-shirt, you get the controller, which is your absolute primo controller, right?
Yeah. Yes,
all
most
right.
definitely.
It is fantastic. So thank you guys for coming on. Greg and Jonah, I appreciate it. That's it, everybody.
Good night, guys.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases belong to us.